Now a pair of hands packs down fresh soil around a sapling. Titles appear. 20th Century Fox presents a Davis Entertainment Company production. Soldiers drive stakes into the ground. One stares off grimly as he carries a rifle on his back. Titles continue. Owen Wilson as Lieutenant Chris Burnett. Gene Hackman as Admiral Leslie Riegert. Another soldier wears a black ski mask covering all but his eyes. Mist wafts past a row of stakes and newly planted saplings. Another title appears, Behind Enemy Lines.
The much criticized Cincinnati Accord has brought a ceasefire to Bosnia, and it appears to be holding, prompting NATO forces to begin a withdrawal, which should be complete by New Year's Day, close to the U.S. president's home by the holidays pledge. Yet even as the conflict winds down, the U.S. military remains at a high state of readiness, eager to answer the call.
On an aircraft carrier.
This is Hawkeye. I've got unknown Rider not responding to comms. Suspect hostile intent. I classify bandit. Launch the alert.
Words appear, USS Carl Vinson, somewhere in the Adriatic Sea, alert level 4. Two naval airmen climb into the cockpit of an F-18.
Vinson Sailors, it's moving out there. We need to get this aircraft airborne in 5 minutes.
Titles continue, Gabriel Mott, Joaquin de Alameda, David Keith.
Stand by for Marshall instructions. 2045, Marshall 030.
Oleg Krupa, Vladimir Moshkov. Quick flashes show the flight crew readying the F-18 for takeoff.
Nose wheel, check. Radar, secure. Gun blast diffuser, clear. Right intake, check. Left intake, check. Detection seat is safe. Arm handle.
Copy, I shall say. Move.
Calm, IFF.
Up and up, let's go, move it.
ADI, MPCD, and ATV.
Go flight.
FCS, ECS, AWP.
All green across the board.
Okay for start. Copy.
Executive producers Stephanie Austin, Whit Godfrey. Story by James Thomas and John Thomas. Screenplay by David Veloz and Zach Penn. Directed by John Moore.
Good to go.
Copy, good to go.
In the flight control room.
That's a NATO bird. Stand it down.
Uncat 4, Archangel, you're on abort.
What?
Abort,
yes.
Abort.
On the flight deck.
Abort. Uncat 4, launch is canceled.
Guys, come on, that's twice today.
Yeah, we're wound up tight today. Guess that's the price of peace.
I cannot wait for it to be done.
The cockpit canopy opens.
4 more days.
The airmen remove their flight helmets.
You know what I was reading the other day? Bill Gates has more money than Peru. Now he needs someone to fly his jets. We ought to be flying for him.
Yeah, but you know what? I bet Bill won't let you fly upside down.
Or fly for a rock star. I mean, if anybody needs a good pilot, it's those guys. Every time you turn around, we've lost
another band of some silly hack they've got flying for them.
Navy pilot could have saved Richie Valens from being a one-hit wonder. That's a fact. Because that kid had talent. You know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Buddy Holly.
What about John Denver?
Well, let's not get carried away.
Later, he climbs out. The two pilots watch several crewmen pass a football.
Let me ask you something. How fast do you think we're headed in the wind here?
Chris, we're still on alert. Rieger wanders up to the tower, we're dead.
Chris faces him.
All right, let's do it.
That's the spirit.
The two pilots cross the flight deck.
Weatherford, right here.
Incoming!
A crewman throws Chris the ball.
You guys ready for a little lesson in physics?
Never learn, kid. I'm gonna take your money this week.
Chris crouches at the catapult shuttle.
It's blowing up the gale.
He props up the football.
I'll bet you $20 each I catch it when it comes back.
Man, you're gonna lose a finger along with that 20.
A flight control officer gives a thumbs up. The metal anvil-shaped shuttle retracts along a crevice in the runway. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS. Described by Justin Soule, Dutch Priest, Stacey Perlman, Chris Flowers, and Paula Broussard. Read by Miles Neff. The flight control officer gives another thumbs up, then presses a button. The catapult shoots down the runway and knocks the football out from underneath Chris's finger. It soars high over the water.
Hey, mama, don't you treat me wrong.
The football slows in the air, then tumbles back toward the carrier. Running along the deck's edge, Chris chases it down. It lands in the water.
Tell me what I see right now.
Chris and his flight mate, Stackhouse, peer over the deck's railing.
Tell me what I see.
Wilson!
Now a helicopter descends toward the USS Carl Vinson.
On the flight deck at the NATO Hilo landing, spot six, spot six.
Now in a lounge, two officers sit in leather armchairs. Words appear, Admiral Juan Miguel Piquet, commander of NATO Naval Command. As Piquet looks over documents, the other officer taps his fingers on the arm of his chair. More words appear. Admiral Leslie Riegert, Commander Adriatic Battle Group.
This is a lot of sorties for an action that's winding down, Leslie.
Admiral, I'm struggling to get my pilots 15 hours a month up there.
You understand how important it is that your pilots don't stray from the agreed fly zones. This treaty is fragile.
The routes will be flown as ordered.
The treaty depends on it.
He takes out a card.
Ernaut von Linden is with Sky News.
He passes it to Riegert.
What is this?
I invited him to report on the battle group. I'd like you to give him a tour of the ship. Show him how everything works.
Admiral, I find the press to be an intrusive presence. Inspires showing off.
PK grins.
What's so funny, Admiral?
You, Admiral, are just what the conflict needs. An uncomplicated man.
I'll take that as a compliment.
In the mess hall, Chris and Stackhouse sit down to eat.
But wait a second, did you see the one with...
A Marine, Rodway, approaches.
Well, well, look at here, look at here. Stackhouse. I know that's not Burnett.
Captain, good to see you.
Hey there.
All right.
Look at you, look at you.
What are you guys doing back on board?
Well, you know the routine. We just finished up in Sarajevo, and your admiral wants to jump on board to pump you guys up.
Sounds like Riegert. Be prepared.
No, it's better to be prepared than to be caught sleeping in a field. Don't you forget what you're doing.
What we're doing here? Are you kidding me? Well, I'm eating Jell-O. He's wiping his hands.
Stackhouse wipes his mouth with a paper napkin.
You know, everybody has a role to play. See, me, I'm a Marine. We take care of the serious business. You, you're a Navy pilot, and your role is to eat Jell-O.
Lieutenant Burnett, Admiral Riegert would like to see you immediately.
He beckons Chris.
What the hell is this?
Be prepared.
Thank you. Maybe he wants to give you his daughter's phone number.
Later in a corridor.
Did you see Tennessee on Saturday? Boy, they look good.
I don't know anything, Lieutenant.
Now that is cynical. And Southerners usually aren't that cynical. Here I try to give you a compliment on how great your alma mater looks, and you think I'm trying to pump you for information. What does he want?
I guess you'll have to see, sir.
Elsewhere, Admiral Riegert reads a file.
Come.
Lieutenant Burnett, sir.
Master Chief O'Malley, thank you.
As Burnett steps inside, O'Malley exits.
Lieutenant Burnett.
Sir, about the football today, I know there's some confusion.
I have your letter. I understand you're interested in leaving the Navy.
Yes, sir. I thought it might be time to move on.
If you don't mind my asking, move on to what?
Sir?
We're going to fly commercial jets, troll the friendly skies in a bus.
The lieutenant stares ahead blankly.
You've had an interesting career, Lieutenant. I remember when you came on board. Smart as a whip, tons of potential.
Thank you, sir.
And then on September 23rd, you received a non-punitive letter of caution for disorderly behavior at the China Fleet Club in Hong Kong. Another non-punitive letter a month later for something involving Chinese New Year at Pattaya Beach in Thailand. One can only imagine what that was.
Admiral Riegert closes the file and gets up. He rounds his desk to his stiff-backed subordinate.
Just out of curiosity, Lieutenant, what happened to you?
Sir, I signed up to be a fighter pilot. I didn't want to be a cop. I certainly didn't want to be a cop walking a beat in a neighborhood no one cares about. That and the routine on the ship kind of wore me out.
The routine?
The routine.
What you don't know from experience is that the routine, the systems checks, the drills, the maintaining of discipline, that's what you do to prepare for war.
We're not at war, sir.
Yes, we are. Unless we're parked in San Diego Bay, you're at war every time you step on this boat. You understand that?
No, sir, I do not understand.
Riegert frowns.
If we're at war, why doesn't somebody act like we're at war? Because as far as I can tell, we go out, we fly around, and we come back. Now, maybe we're pretending we're in the middle of the fight, but that's all we're doing is pretending, because we're not fighting, we're watching.
You should be glad you're not in a fight, Lieutenant, because with your attitude, you wouldn't last long.
Sir, with all due respect, I've given the Navy 7 good years. I think I've served my country.
You wouldn't know the first thing about serving your country.
Burnett closes his mouth.
You have 2 weeks remaining on this tour. You will serve them in a manner befitting a naval officer. I'll keep your letter in my pocket. At the end of those 2 weeks, you'll be on your way.
The lieutenant clenches his jaw as Riegert puts away the file and paperwork. The admiral folds his hands on his desk, then peers up at his subordinate.
You're dismissed, mister.
Sir.
Burnett takes a step back, then turns on his heel. As he exits, Riegert's gaze shifts pensively. The admiral leans back in his chair and folds his hands on his chest. Now Burnett enters a corridor.
O'Malley told me you dropped your letter. He's playing with me, right?
Nope. He's telling the truth.
So you're gonna break up the band, huh? Oh, that's good. Hey, listen, Chris.
Listen, I thought you were kidding about getting out. You telling me I gotta find another navigator? Is that the deal?
I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I'm sorry.
He walks off. Stackhouse's mouth hangs slightly agape. Outside, our view arcs around the carrier's bow as it pierces the water. Inside, Burnett uses a payphone.
No, it's good to hear your voice. No. Yeah, they're taking care of us great. They're putting up tinsel, and it's very Christmassy. No, Dad, you don't need to wake her. Just tell her I said Merry Christmas.
Oh, we're disappointed that we won't be seeing you.
Well, you may be getting a chance to see a lot of me soon.
Well, we understand. You got important things to do over there.
Dad, I gotta go. I gotta get going.
Well, we're very proud of you.
Dad, I gotta get going. All right, I love you.
Bye.
As he hangs up, he notices his and Stackhouse's names written on a white board. Below, the words Photo Recon are underlined.
Son of a bitch!
Did you see this? He put us on a holiday mission.
Damn it!
Yeah, well, look at the bright side. At least we get to fly, right?
Yeah, during the one good meal of the year. It's almost like he doesn't like us.
No. You. Not me. You.
Now outside.
Merry Christmas, girls and boys. On the flight deck, it's showtime. Aircraft are manning for the NATO solo photo reconnaissance mission.
Burnett and Stackhouse sit in their jet.
He's got a brand new car.
The canopy hatch closes.
Looks like a Jaguar.
The F-18 pivots.
It's got leather seats.
Steam billows from the flight deck.
It's got a CD player.
Our view swoops in over the USS Carl Vinson.
Great to look back, and there's Britney Spears. But wait a second, she wants to come up and try flying a plane. Yeah, just move the stick right there. Yeah, you can tell her.
The catapult shuttle inches forward, angling down a tow bar, linking it to the jet's front wheels. The catapult propels the F-18 down the flight deck. The fighter jet lifts up just as it reaches the edge. Dipping its wing, it climbs in altitude. On the carrier, a crew member flashes an OK sign. Now the F-18 soars over clouds. A torpedo-shaped fuel tank hangs beneath each wing. Later, the jet flies over snow-dusted mountains. As it picks up speed, the background blurs. Now in a sparsely furnished wood-floored room, two men watch TV.
The Cincinnati Accord verifies Serbia's commitment to a lasting peace in Yugoslavia.
Kukavica.
Subtitles appear. Coward, he placates these people, and why? Because they occupy our country? He's a politician, Bazda.
I will come the announcement that NATO will leave the region.
He tells us to keep the Muslims at bay. Then he tells the world that we won't fire a shot. We can't fight everyone at once. Think. Less emotion. You'll live longer. In the jet, Burnett sits behind Stackhouse.
Coordinates 30150 6.5 1150 confirmed. Sectors are all concurrent.
You sure about that?
I'm reading it right here, pal.
His finger taps a map.
Yeah, well,
Our view looks down through the canopy.
The Serbs must have bought some old U-boats because we're flying over a lake.
The fighter jet soars over a vast expanse of water toward a forested mountain range on the other side.
And a warm thank you goes out to the U.S. intelligence community, ladies and gentlemen.
The plane rolls upside down and continues on. Burnett watches a blip on his radar scope.
Yet another useless joyride at the cost of mere millions to the U.S. taxpayer.
Okay, hang on. Scope showing activity in Section 4 Alpha to our left. Must be in that forested area.
What are you talking about? That's the demilitarized zone. There shouldn't be any activity.
Yeah, I know, but the scope doesn't lie. There it is. Let's check it out.
We're not supposed to fly that section, Chris.
Hey, we're on recon, so let's recon something. Stack, it's probably just some locals fooling around. Could be a good opportunity to test our shiny new digital camera.
Why do I listen to you? All right, let's do it.
The F-18 banks over the mountains.
ECM is clear, GPS is synced with new coordinates. Steady up 034 and fly the director.
Burnett flips a switch. An IDEM panel lights up and a compact disc spins.
IDEM camera is at speed.
Got it. Going in a burner. On condition. Stand by for roll. Now.
Burnett hits a record button. A camera lens blinks.
Rolling digital.
On a screen, a quick series of images show groups of people, trucks, and smaller vehicles in a cleared path. The plane soars over them.
Smile, guys. You're on TV.
Amid the trucks, a Serbian soldier lifts a phone to his ear as he peers skyward. In a compound, an officer rushes past men cleaning their weapons and races upstairs. In a hallway, he shoves a soldier out of the way as he hurries to the sparsely furnished room. Inside, the commander sits smoking a cigarette. Basta stands beside him. Subtitles appear. Sir, NATO jet over the forested Hotch. The commander glares. You must be wrong. No, sir, it wasn't on the published NATO report, but it is definitely reconnaissance. The commander grabs a phone and walks down the hall. In the forest, a soldier hands a cell phone to a man in a blue jacket with white striped sleeves. He listens and peers upward. Subtitles. I can hear them. He hangs up and faces the soldiers. Back in the jet.
Aren't you going to miss all this excitement?
Oh, absolutely.
From atop an armored vehicle with twin anti-aircraft missiles, the man in blue watches the soaring jet. As he activates a remote control unit, a hatch flips open, exposing a projectile tipped with a convex lens. In the jet, a master caution light flashes.
What is it? We're being painted!
What?
On the ground, the man in blue launches the missile. A warning flashes on Burnett's panel.
They fired! Scoop it now!
The plane climbs.
Get the nose moving! Roger! I see a single missile tracking on it.
I don't see it. Call my turn.
This way. Hurry.
The missile ascends toward the jet.
Where is it?
The F-18 levels off.
Try to break the lock.
As the plane banks above a canyon, the missile passes behind it.
Golden Eagle, Archangel, we have been engaged.
Roger.
Laser 1-1. You want quantity 2?
Put out decoy flare.
Copy. Hang on.
The jet releases a series of white-hot flares. The missile soars past them, still heading toward the jet.
Where is he?
Stackhouse banks wide, followed closely by the missile.
Trap.
On the ground, a second missile launches.
Second missile in the air! 3 miles in closing! Pull up! Change your vector!
I got him!
Stackhouse pulls the jet vertical. As it climbs, the two missiles hone in, leaving curved vapor trails. Burnett glances at a missile coming up on the wing.
We need a bigger heat decoy.
As Stackhouse banks sharply, the cockpit shakes. The jet levels off in a slight climb.
We're screwed!
As they zoom over a treetop, the jet's wake blasts snow from its branches.
1 mile! Tap the fuel tanks and pull out!
Stackhouse yanks a lever, releasing the twin fuel tanks. As the tanks hit ground, a huge fireball expands from the impact.
Good fireball!
The jet soars straight up.
Clear on top, coming back down.
The missiles dive.
Two missiles in sight, both tracking for the fireball.
One missile explodes in the flames.
One down, up we go!
The jet tilts upward and the second missile follows its climb. The last missile arcs toward them.
He's back on us! Push over! Pumping! Hard left!
I'm going for a head-on pass. Here he comes, head-on, right side!
The missile grazes the tail.
He clipped us! Our tail's gone! He clipped our flight control!
Gauge needles spin wildly, and metal pieces break away from the plane. The missile turns back toward them.
He's coming back! Missile arcing right! Break, break!
I got no turn left, Chris! Control the shot!
As the projectile heads for them, Burnett's eyes widen and the image freezes briefly. The missile's nose breaks away, revealing its spiky warhead. It fires hundreds of metal darts, which rip holes into the jet's wings and fuselage. Flames creep up the jet's vapor trail and engulf the plane, breaking it in half. The tail and wings fall away. In the free-falling cockpit, red lights flash.
Eject!
Burnett grips a handle between his legs. Rivets pop off the side of the cockpit, and the clear canopy breaks away. Sparks burst from the F-18's controls and electrical systems. As fire fills the cockpit under his feet, Burnett's seat ejects. Spewing smoke, the cockpit spins. Stackhouse reaches for the handle between his legs. As his seat breaks away, a piece of debris punctures his thigh. Stackhouse rockets into the air as the cockpit crashes into the forest below. Splintering apart, the nose rolls over rocks and comes to rest. Smoke clears, revealing the words, "Made in USA," painted on its side. In the air, as the ejected seats fall, they knock into each other. Stackhouse's chute opens and his seat falls away. Burnett lifts a lever on his seat and his chute opens. The seat plummets to a barren, icy plateau near a towering statue. As the seat hits, a huge cloud of snow sprays up around it. Above, the pilot's parachutes glide over treetops. At the armored vehicle, the Serbian man removes a medallion from under his blue jacket and kisses it. Above the plateau, Burnett manipulates the lines of his chute. As he draws closer to the statue at the plateau's edge, he notices it's an angel with a bowed head. Passing around to its other side, he sees half the statue's face and one of its wings are blown away. Two pilots descend beneath the plateau and toward a thick forest. Burnett falls among the trees, slamming into branches on his way down. As his chute catches on a limb, he jolts to a stop. Dangling several feet above the ground, he unsnaps his helmet's chin strap.
Damn it!
Now, in the carrier's mess hall, O'Malley sits beside Admiral Riegert.
You threw a hell of a party, sir.
Yeah, I really like Christmas.
Sir, we've lost a bird and F-18 feet dry.
Now, Riegert and O'Malley head toward the flight control room.
Archangel 06.
Burnett and Stackhouse.
Damn it, I put them on a holiday mission. Any beacon activity?
Not yet, Admiral. We have a radar plot, a flight path, and feet dry to last contact. Here in yellow, the assigned path.
On the map, a yellow line loops over land and returns.
And the red is actual.
A red line follows the yellow, then diverges north past Hotch into a red area of the map. Riegert furrows his brow.
Lost contact is here.
They're off mission. What the hell happened?
If they ejected in this area, it's going to be tough to pick up a beacon signal, even from a satellite. The terrain is extremely rough.
Damn weather should not help him. Contact Admiral Piquet. Alert NATO chain of command. Make sure we have a flash op rep out over all U.S. national circuits. And get straight through to Admiral Donnelly.
Aye, sir.
No names.
No names, sir.
In the forest, Burnett frees himself from his chute straps and falls to the ground. His face scratched and bloody, he staggers to his feet. He takes off his helmet, then unbuckles his parachute harness. Now Burnett runs up a small hill and onto a grassy clearing.
Stack out!
He waves as he crosses dried leaves.
You okay?
Stackhouse lies on the ground, holding his wounded leg.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. You look terrible.
Yeah? I mean, that looks pretty bad.
Let me see this.
Unwrapping a bandage, Burnett examines Stackhouse's wound.
Yeah, change this. We need a field dressing on this.
He takes a bandage from his jacket.
Squeeze right here.
As Burnett bandages the leg, Stackhouse rests on one elbow. Bloody cuts mar his face.
So, where are we, Mr. Navigator Man?
Burnett glances around.
In the mountains north of Misovic.
You think they saw us eject?
Standing, Burnett peers down at Stackhouse.
We are not going to be around to find out.
Burnett takes out a hand radio.
Riker's been really curious what happened to his $40 million plane.
Forget it, I already tried. You need to get to higher ground.
They peer toward the hills.
You think it'll work up there?
Yeah. Just get high enough.
All right, sit tight.
Burnett heads off.
Hey, Chris.
Listen, I should have dodged that second missile.
Yeah, you should have. You blew it. You took me down with you. I thought you had great reflexes. What happened to you? I used to have like a good pilot.
Man, you're slipping. You need to watch it.
As Burnett heads toward the hill, Stackhouse flings something at him. Trudging through tall, dry grass, Burnett glances over his shoulder at his friend. Stackhouse eyes his leg and grimaces. Elsewhere in the woods, a piece of the plane wreckage burns. As some soldiers rifle through the mangled cockpit, others look on from tanks. They pump their fists and fire into the air. An unmarked SUV approaches. In it, the Serbian commander wears a beret. The vehicle pulls off the road and parks in a clearing among tanks and transport trucks. The commander gets out with a cell phone to his ear. Subtitles. We were very specific, Petrovich. No more flyovers. You promised. Well, they didn't listen, did they? I had to shoot him down. He saw everything. The commander approaches Bazda, who keeps one hand on an automatic rifle's trigger and smokes a cigarette with the other. I want every scrap of this plane brought to Gronik. No one goes near it unless I say. You understand? Bazda draws on his cigarette and gives a quick nod. They look toward a blackened, smoky patch of land where soldiers rummage through more plane debris. A jeep pulls up, and the man in the blue jacket approaches the commander. Subtitles. Do you know where he landed? Farther north, I'll show you. The commander pats him on the back. Meanwhile, Burnett races up a hill beyond a stretch of dry, leafless trees. In the clearing, Stackhouse peers at his hands, then quickly looks up with wide eyes. He cranes his neck and peers over his shoulder. Moving dots appear on a hilltop. As they move closer, they become recognizable as advancing men and vehicles. Stackhouse studies the approaching tanks, jeeps, and armed Serbian soldiers. Bazda stands in the back of one jeep, smoking a cigarette. Stackhouse turns his head. More soldiers crest another hill. In the forest, Burnett takes cover behind a tree and pulls binoculars out of his jacket. In one jeep, a soldier manning a machine gun wears a ski mask. Now a boot presses against Stackhouse's wound. Burnett watches as the soldiers converge on him.
Damn it.
One soldier yanks the American's revolver out of its holster. Stackhouse scans the frowning faces staring back at him. His gaze shifts nervously. The soldiers turn away from him and watch the commander's SUV drive up. Behind a crook in the tree, Burnett peers through his binoculars. The commander gets out of the passenger side. Lifting his grim gaze, he walks steadily toward Stackhouse. Burnett lowers his binoculars. His brow creases as he peers closely at the clearing. As the commander draws near, a soldier kicks Stackhouse from behind.
Who's the guy?
Leave him alone. Burnett's binocular view shows the commander stopping beside the American. A soldier tosses him Stackhouse's revolver, and the commander hands it to the man in the blue jacket. Slowly lowering to one knee, he faces the injured man. Stackhouse hands him a folded piece of paper. The word Bosnian is typed above a paragraph written in a foreign language. The commander hands it to a soldier, then leans in closer to the pilot.
Reconnaissance mission, yes? Not bombing mission, right?
Stackhouse stares with narrowed eyes.
You photograph?
The commander peers at him. The pilot's blood-streaked lips remain motionless. The commander glances at his troops.
Uplashanie.
He's afraid. The commander levels his gaze on Stackhouse again.
You alone?
Correct.
The man in the blue jacket looks on as the commander smiles and rubs his gloved fingers against Stackhouse's cheek. Through the binoculars, Burnett watches the commander place his hand on the man in blue's shoulder.
Get him up.
As the uniformed troops head off, the man in the blue jacket stays put and lights a cigarette. He stands in front of Stackhouse, his focus on the lighter. As he looks up and glances behind him, he sees Bazda walking off with the commander and the rest of the troops following behind. Alone with the American, the man in the blue jacket paces closer, glancing at the departing troops as he finishes his cigarette. Through his binoculars, Burnett watches the man pull Stackhouse to his feet, then pick up the pilot's helmet and brush it off. Burnett gapes as the man in the blue jacket puts a pistol to the back of Stackhouse's head. Burnett lies flat against the hill. The assassin looks back and narrows his eyes. Burnett runs. The soldiers turn around. There's another one. The assassin fires two pistols. Fire on the hills. As Burnett scurries up the incline, bullets tear through the ground around him. As Bazda and the other soldiers run toward the hill, bullets hit a tree near Burnett. He reaches the top of the hill and runs down the other side through a wooded area. Bullets whiz past him. Pumping his arms furiously, he darts between the trees. The soldiers give chase. As the American races down a slope, he loses his balance and rolls end over end. At the bottom, Burnett gets to his feet and races across a wooden bridge. Back in the clearing, the assassin faces the commander. You want this man dead? Send me. Just me. Bazda scowls. That's ridiculous. He's alone and scared. We'll find him in no time. The commander sneers. Both of you find him. Now Burnett sits at the top of a mountain. He holds the radio.
Alpha Whiskey, this is Archangel 06, over.
On the aircraft carrier.
Alpha Whiskey, this is Archangel 06, over. Be ready.
Riegert enters flight control.
What is that? Sir, there seems to be some interference.
The homing beacon from the ejector seat, sir.
We'll shut it off.
All right, sir.
Alpha Echo, Alpha Echo, Alpha Whiskey direct cease buzzer on 06.
On the plateau, our view moves down the length of the ejection seat to a small box with a blinking red light. The light stops blinking.
Alpha Whiskey, this is Archangel 06. Over. Do you read?
06, this is Alpha Whiskey.
Yeah, read you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Burnett grips the hand radio.
Archangel is down. I say again, Archangel is down, and I am on the run.
Slow down. What is your count?
Burnett winces and lowers his head. As a strong wind rustles through his hair, he licks his lips.
Minus one, Stackhouse. They shot him.
No names over the net. Confirm your last.
Minus one. Confirm. Serbs in camo shot my pilot.
The admiral's eyes shift.
Now hold on, son. You're saying that a uniformed soldier killed your flight officer?
No, I'm saying they executed him. They were talking to him, then they shot him in the head.
All right, calm down, son. We're working on it.
He faces Rodway.
How soon can your team be ready?
We're ready now, sir. You say the word and we'll saddle up. All I need is a ride.
06, consult your chart.
Riegert eyes a clipboard.
Reposition to
rally point 3.
Burnett removes a map from a pocket on the leg of his flight suit.
4-1. Maintain radio silence.
We're coming to get you, son. Just make your way to the rally point.
Understood?
06 copies out.
Riegert faces O'Malley.
Contact PK and Donnelly.
Aye, aye, sir.
Let them know I need a green light to go get my boy.
Now in the woods, Burnett runs past several leafless trees. Keeping a steady pace, he lifts his legs high and charges across the land. Elsewhere, the assassin loads a rifle. Along with a tank, a group of Serb foot soldiers comb a field of tall grass. Now our view hovers over a helicopter on the carrier's flight deck. Ducking under the rotating blades, two crewmen set blocks in front of its wheels. Admiral Piquet and a uniformed officer walk across the flight deck. Riegert stands in the watchtower.
Come.
Piquet enters.
Admiral, what's going on down there?
We have an F-18 down in southern Bosnia.
One pilot suspected dead.
Who authorized the search and rescue?
I did.
Call it off. Stand down, Admiral.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear. We have pilots down. One probably already dead.
Admiral, I have spoken personally to Bosnian military commanders, and they assure me that the shoot down was perpetrated by renegade forces outside of their control. attempting to disrupt the peace process.
Well, of course they're going to say that, aren't they?
They're also claiming, Admiral, that your aircraft was way off mission. If we fly in there, and the whole treaty will collapse.
Admiral, Burnett says that Serb troops murdered his pilot.
And your pilot, an expert on Bosnia? Can you tell the difference between the uniforms of Serbs, Croats, and Muslims? Because I can't. And I've been posted here for 5 years. If your man's in danger, he should get himself into a safe zone. That is what he's briefed and trained to do.
Rigard furrows his brow.
Listen, Leslie. I can have your fleet commander order you to stand down, or you can do it yourself.
As PK eyes him, Rigard nods slightly. The NATO admiral returns the nod and leaves. Rigard looks away. Now in a clearing, Burnett runs across a platform. Below, a 20-foot-wide concrete ramp slopes down to a lake. Burnett sits at the top of the high structure and takes out his compass. Squinting, he examines the device and looks across the lake. With scrapes and dirt smudging his face, the lieutenant rests on the edge of the ramp. He opens a zippered pocket on his flight suit and takes out a small squirt bottle. As Burnett tilts his head back and drinks, a bullet whizzes past his head. Burnett loses his footing and slides down the concrete ramp. Behind a nearby rock, the assassin in the blue jacket aims a scoped rifle and shoots. As the bullets hit close, the lieutenant uncontrollably crashes through thin ridges on the ramp and speeds down. Through the crosshairs of the rifle, Burnett slides out of sight. On the ramp, he grabs onto a protruding pipe and dangles to the side. The tracker points his rifle. His crosshairs show an empty ramp. Below, Burnett climbs up the thin pipe. Lowering his gun, the tracker furrows his brow and moves away from the rock. Now, in a charred clearing, Burnett runs past black tree stumps. With his map in hand, the lieutenant stops and makes his way into a trench, littered with sandbags and torn tents. Sitting down, Burnett reads the map, then takes out his radio.
Alf, this is 06. Come in.
In the flight control room.
06, go ahead.
06 is at rally point 3 and standing by.
06, latest intel says your current location
undoable for pickup. Stand by to copy rendezvous point.
Say again your last. I am at the rendezvous point.
Rigard scratches his head.
You need to hump it out to safe zone. I set IP Cadillac, Canada 15.
Virginia 20. Read back.
With a knitted brow, the lieutenant flips through his folded map. Our view speeds over a stretch of vast land, then soars shakily past a forest of tall evergreens. As the images blur, Burnett shakes his head.
No.
He licks his lips and scowls.
Negative.
I do not understand. Why is this spot not doable for pickup? I am good to go. I say again, I am good to go now.
Burnett!
As O'Malley winces, the admiral furrows his brow and takes a deep breath.
06. You are a combat naval aviator. Start acting like one.
You've been shot down. Life is tough. I am very sorry.
You pull yourself together. You do whatever it takes. Create some angles between you and your pursuers. Use your training. Use your head. Evade and survive, and we will bring you home. Do you understand? We will bring you home.
Burnett looks back and spots the Serb troops searching the nearby forest. He watches intensely. In flight control, Riegert's eyes shift.
06.
O'Malley holds his lips tight while a dark-haired sailor lowers his gaze.
06.
In the forest, Burnett watches the men head uphill.
Someone's coming.
O'Malley's arms drop. Riegert glances up, then slowly lifts the handset back to his mouth. Wearing a headset, the dark-haired sailor shakes his head.
We lost the signal, sir.
Where is he? Triangulate his position.
We're on it, sir.
In the forest, Burnett races through a misty area. Burnett hops over fallen branches and leaps through the uneven terrain. With a determined look, he pumps his arms hard. In flight control, the dark-haired sailor uses a phone.
We're tracking him in the skiff, sir.
Rigard heads out.
On me!
O'Malley and Rodway follow. In the forest, Burnett charges across the leaf-covered ground. Looking over his shoulder, the lieutenant keeps a quick pace. Behind him, the Serb army point their guns and pace forward in a horizontal line. On the ship, two soldiers guard a door. They salute Riegert.
At ease.
The Admiral signs a clipboard and the men open the door for him. Inside a dim room, a large screen projects data. The Admiral joins the dark-haired sailor.
Sir, we were able to track the emergency radio signal to somewhere in this radius. It's pretty far away, but we think the pilot transmission came from here.
They look at a radar map. As a technician types, a satellite in space orbits the Earth.
Now, this is imagery from a Northrop Grumman relay satellite downlinked through the Janet Processing Center in Stuttgart. We've hot-wired it for heat image, and it's streaming in now. This isn't strictly legal, sir.
As a dozen different television images appear in panels on the screen, Riegert knits his brow. In space, the satellite casts a ray toward Earth. A map appears on screen.
Okay, here we go.
The map zooms in closer, projecting a bullseye over the land. A window pops up beside the bullseye, displaying clear aerial shots. As a cursor moves, the image changes to a forest. A glowing figure runs across the screen.
That's Burnett?
Yes, sir.
The thermal image keeps running. In the forest, Burnett enters a field. With their weapons raised, the Serb soldiers press forward. In the satellite room, Riegert narrows his eyes. In the forest, the lieutenant looks back and slides down into a muddy trench. He lands face down in a puddle. Behind him, a line of soldiers follow.
What's going on? He's down.
The image lies flat.
You've been shot?
On screen, the approaching soldiers glow.
We're almost on him.
As the Admiral studies the screen, the armed Serbs cross the field.
Son of a bitch.
The soldiers get closer.
Why isn't he moving?
Come on, Burnett, move.
They're right on him.
On the field, the soldiers approach the edge of the trench. Several bodies protrude from the wall below their feet. In the ditch, dozens of muddy bodies pile on top of each other. On screen, the soldiers stop.
What are they doing?
Bazda and the Serb soldiers cover their mouths. In a flashback, soldiers, including Bazda, unload a bus of men, women, and children. As they load guns, the civilians back away fearfully. The men fire their weapons. Afterwards, the soldiers plant saplings and drive stakes into the ground. Back at the trench, the Serb soldiers look down somberly. Bazda points to a few, and they head down. In the satellite room, O'Malley swaps looks with Riegert. At the bottom, a soldier moves aside a piece of clothing. Aiming their guns, two more search the grave.
What's going on?
On screen, the glowing figures move around Burnett. In the trench, the men poke their bayonets into the mud. In the satellite room, the Admiral watches the soldiers move away from Burnett. Rodway shifts his eyes.
Has he been killed?
In the trench, Serb soldiers pass a hand, reaching out of the mud. On screen, the glowing group moves back into the field, leaving Burnett behind. O'Malley looks toward the Admiral. Riegert takes a step down and stares at the flat, illuminated figure. In the trench, our view drifts over the mess of muddy carcasses. We move toward one body lying face down. Burnett crawls out from underneath it. The lieutenant shakes mud from his hair. Resting on all fours, he faces several heads. Using his elbows, Burnett scurries through the mass grave. He rises to his feet and races through the garden of saplings. In the satellite room.
He's moving. That's him. Stay on it. Resize and widen broadband.
Stay with him. Stay with him.
The image fades into color bars.
What the hell's going on?
Damn it.
Hold on. That's not us. The door's closing.
Let's fix it.
We're down. It's cooked.
I want intel on this situation. Who's chasing him and why? Understand?
Yes, sir.
The Admiral leaves. Later, our view hovers over the ship. In his office, Admiral Riegert sits at a desk and shifts his eyes. Tightening his lips, he opens the top drawer and removes a flip-top lighter. The Admiral lights a cigarette and takes a puff. As he looks around his office, he notices a Naval Academy certificate and a photo of uniformed officers hanging on the wall. Nearby, a posted document reads, "The Purple Heart to Lieutenant Leslie Riegert for wounds received in action." Another hanging award recognizes the Admiral's heroism. Riegert lowers his gaze, then glances down at the open drawer. He reaches inside and pulls out the reporter's business card. The Admiral stares at it and taps it in his hand.
It's been confirmed to us that an American combat aircraft, an F-18 Super Hornet, has been shot down over Bosnia. It was hit over Mitrovic in southern Bosnia at around 6 o'clock yesterday morning.
Mr. Burnett?
The pilot is feared dead, but his navigator is believed to have survived the crash.
It's about your son.
Their names are still being withheld, pending notification of their next of kin. We still don't know who shot the F-18 down. It's the Serbs who control most of southern Bosnia, but they allege insurgents are to blame and say they're doing everything to help locate the crew. It's also unclear what, if any, impact this incident will have on NATO's withdrawal.
The Serb commander turns from the newscast. This just got more complicated. He faces Basta. Last sighting was in these foothills. We can almost be sure he'll head west. The commander grabs his map. He should be dead by now. You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. Later, the commander strides through a dark bunker. A thin mechanic looks up from the F-18's wreckage and joins him, holding two broken parts. Sir, is this it? This is the camera in the storage unit, but there is no film in it. So what? The photos are stored digitally somewhere else on the plane. Where? What part? Sir, most of the plane was destroyed. Odds are the hard drive was destroyed too. The commander shakes his fist. Don't tell me, odds. Find it! Back on the aircraft carrier, Admiral Piquet arrives in Rigert's ready room.
Admiral?
Rigert looks over a table strewn with maps and documents.
You and I have known each other for how long? 5 years?
Something like that.
I've always commended your work to your superior officers. I've sent you information whenever you requested it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your support.
And this is the thanks I get. We have one disagreement over how to handle a downed pilot. And you stab me in the back. You go to the media, to my contact.
You brought him on my boat. His press report is accurate. Our man is down behind enemy lines. Now what the hell is the problem?
Do you have any idea how much damage this incident may cause to the peace process?
All I know, Admiral, is that the American people want their pilot back.
Exactly. Americans, all you care about is your own damn pilots. What happens when the fighting starts again? Will America recommit its forces to stop a major war? No. You don't have any control over that little detail, do you?
Piquet turns away, then hesitates, pointing his finger.
You might have helped save your men today, Reed. And I emphasize might. But you'll risk the lives of thousands tomorrow.
The NATO commander strides out, leaving Rigert scowling. With an angered grimace, he throws a handful of documents across the ready room. Now, in a war-torn city, Burnett crouches behind some charred oil drums. Staying low, he sprints across a deserted train yard. He hides behind some debris. Ahead, he spots a figure waiting near a small pickup truck. A child and teenager emerge from a gaping hole in the side of a derailed tanker car. The teenager leads the child toward the truck. Burnett notices them stepping carefully over wires pulled taut across the road. The young child slowly takes a large step over an exposed line. The adult figure helps the youngsters into the truck, then gets in. As the truck pulls away, Burnett steps from behind his cover and scans the road ahead. Rain droplets glisten on the trip wires. He looks to his feet. Nearby, a wire leads from a fork pin on top of a cylindrical mine. One wire wavers a few inches from Burnett's foot. A Jeep pulls up behind him. Three soldiers with AK-47s exit and race toward him. Burnett turns back to the mined road. He rushes ahead, stutter-stepping over the crisscross trip wires. The soldiers halt. One raises his assault rifle and plants his front foot on a trip wire. As the first mine goes off, forked pins spring up from dozens more alongside the road. Burnett runs haphazardly down the center of the road, high-stepping over the wires. Explosions spew dirty clouds across the street behind him. the chain reaction catches up with him and the erupting clouds overtake him, shielding his face from flying stone and debris. He dives forward as the last mines detonate. As a mist of gravel blows over him, he struggles to his feet. Later, he climbs through a bombed military post in the forest. An abandoned anti-tank gun lies on its side, one wheel sticking in the air. Burnett sits on a wall of bulging sandbags and takes out his radio. Unfolding the antenna, he lifts it to his scraped and grimy face.
Alpha Whiskey, this is Archangel.
O'Malley enters Rieger's office.
Sir, we've got a signal. It's Burnett.
Archangel 06, this is Alpha Whiskey. Go ahead, 06.
In flight control.
I'm on course with your last instructions. I'm teed up and waiting for you to name the fairway.
06, this is Alpha Whiskey. How you doing, son?
I don't know. You tell me, sir.
The heartbeat's over. You need to get yourself 5 clicks east to the sweet spot. Understood?
Burnett scans the area. On the carrier, Rodway holds a clipboard for the Admiral.
Roger, understand that spot to be friendly?
Good for birds.
That's affirmative. The spot is friendly. You need to get there, stay out of trouble, and Big Mother will pick you up. Next contact at
1700.
Roger.
Burnett keeps his radio level as he stares off. Dirt smears his blood-stained face. On the ship, the officers wait anxiously, bathed in the blue light of the control room.
Alpha Whiskey?
Go ahead, 06.
Burnett's lips move hesitantly.
Sir, I shouldn't have left Stackhouse.
He presses the back of his hand to his eyes. Rodway leans toward Rieger.
Distract him. 06, your last transmission was garbled. Let's talk about your gear.
How's it holding up?
Burnett looks himself over, then tightens his jaw, blinking alertly.
My gear is good. I have a basic pack.
I left some of it at the crash site.
I guess I got rattled when I ejected a Mach 3.
As O'Malley smirks, the Admiral takes a seat, smiling.
You still got your boots, haven't you, cowboy?
Roger. They were tied on.
You got it made.
The navigator's brow furrows, and he cracks a hint of a smile.
You're an optimist, sir. See, I had you figured for a grouch.
Okay, 06. Just make it to the RP.
Roger.
Are you going to be there, sir?
That's affirmative, son. Out.
As Burnett folds up his radio antenna, the Admiral checks a map.
He's here.
Yes, sir. I suggest we place him here. It's open ground near the town of Hotch. Well inside the safe zone.
All right, let's go for the extraction.
Later, a helicopter idles on the carrier's deck. In a hangar, the Admiral briefs a squad of camouflaged Marines.
Ingress will be north, egress south.
From the position of radio contacts, you can see that he has basically circled back towards the crash site. Call sign is Avalanche. Authenticate Romeo 2 X-ray.
PK strides in, flanked by commandos.
Delay cycle. Port is Washdown. Aircraft down is Cobalt. Success is Ripper. Captain, you can take it from here.
Thank you, sir. Bravo will establish the security perimeter, then haul ass back to the Hilo on my command.
Admiral Rieger, let me introduce you to Colonel Brigand. He will conduct the pickup.
Sir, my team is ready now.
Get me Admiral Donnelly on the line.
I have spoken with Admiral Donnelly on this matter and have his full support. You will stand down.
Rieger swaps a look with Rodway. Now, in the forest, a shadowy figure emerges from a fog. He weaves between barren trees toward a carpet of fallen leaves. It's the blue-jacketed tracker. Elsewhere, Burnett sleeps with his back against a tree trunk. The tracker creeps from tree to tree, holding his rifle loosely at his side. As Burnett sleeps, an image flashes of the tracker shooting Stackhouse.
Chris.
Burnett's eyes open wide. He rushes ahead through the forest. The tracker stalks behind, moving swiftly. On a nearby road, a dirty red pickup truck cruises toward a bridge. Burnett sprints across it, checking over his shoulder. He waves at the truck. As the bridge empties onto the road, Burnett leaps out in front of the speeding truck. It skids to a halt inches from his outstretched hands. A large man with Elvis sideburns and sunglasses gets out and points to the sky. Panting, Burnett points up too. As he looks anxiously down the bridge, the large man points him toward the truck bed. Burnett jumps in as the big man gets back in the cab. As the truck takes off, a ponytailed teenager sitting across from Burnett takes a long drag off a cigarette. Burnett eyes him, an assault rifle in his lap, and three other young people sitting with him.
You American?
Burnett nods to the ponytailed teen, who points under his arm.
9mm? 9mm?
Burnett touches his own holstered pistol.
Yeah, 9mm.
The youngster gives a satisfied nod. Meanwhile, the tracker paces off the bridge. He walks around the pavement, eyeing the truck's black skid marks intently. He takes a cell phone from his fleece-collared jacket. A street sign with city distances reads, Hotch, 26.
Jewish man.
Subtitles appear. Can you hear me? Yes. He's headed to Hotch. He's running right to us. We'll meet you there. Back in the truck, Burnett mimes drinking.
You have water? Water? No water.
As Burnett nods sadly and looks away, the teen smiles to a stone-faced girl beside him and motions to Burnett with his head. She pulls a Coke bottle from a paper bag. Burnett's eyes light up as he takes it, unscrews the cap, and takes a long swig. He nods to the expressionless teen.
It's good.
She gives a slight nod. Burnett points to a picture on the ponytailed teen's sweatshirt.
Ice Cube.
Yeah. I like ice.
I like all hip-hop, rap music. West Coast, East Coast. NWA, Public Enemy.
The girl rolls her eyes.
Stop, freeze. I got froze up because I'm Public Enemy number one. One, 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 one.
Burnett nods, holding back a smile.
That's good. That's good.
The teen looks off with a casual nod. Now in the air, words appear beside a helicopter. French NATO Special Forces Rescue Team. Call sign Savior 6. ETA 22 minutes. Back in the truck.
You know where we're going? Hotch. Hotch? That's good, good.
Later, they arrive in a war-ravaged city. A destroyed car billows black smoke. Their truck passes damaged buildings with covered windows facing the empty streets. Suddenly, the passengers duck gunfire. The truck swerves past graffiti reading, Welcome to Hell. A third-story wall crumbles in an explosion and cement rains down on the truck. Soldiers trade shots with plain-clothed rebels in the streets. A bullet splinters the truck's windshield, spraying blood from the driver. The truck gets knocked onto its side. It skids to a stop and the passengers tumble out. Rebels hide behind overturned cars, firing at a tank. As the ponytailed teen frantically leads his companions into a building's sandbagged opening, the girl falls headfirst in a puddle. Burnett helps her up and rushes her into the bombed-out building. Inside, dust falls from the ceiling as rebels fire from the doorway. The ponytailed teen stumbles back and drags Burnett to cover by his flight suit. The girl tugs on a mustached man studying a wall map. Subtitles appear. Look what we found. The building shakes as Burnett hunches on the ground. As the dust settles, the rebel leader and several refugees stare coldly at him. Is this the one from TV? I thought we could use him.
Hey!
A soldier drags Burnett to the leader at gunpoint. The leader slams him against the map.
Whoa, whoa, hold it, hold it. I'm an American soldier that's been shot to death.
Shut up!
He faces the ponytailed teen.
What were you bombing?
No, no bombing, we were taking pictures, photographs.
Photographs of what?
Of what?
Look, us coming back here again. Killing everyone.
It's true. Rocker killed everyone. Children, women.
Bury them up there in the hills.
In the hills, yes. I saw them. I saw the graves.
In a flashback, Burnett emerges from the muddy corpses.
Yes, I saw them. I saw the bodies in the hills. Tell him I am an American. I am on your side. That's what I am saying. We are on your
side. When you go outside, tell them you're an American. They don't kill Americans.
Ice Cube, tell him, get over here. Tell this guy that we have photographs.
The leader presses a pistol to Burnett's cheek.
America said they'd make them sign a deal.
Outside, a tank's gun swivels toward the bombed-out building.
But they already break it. America, government, now go!
The tank fires on them. Smoke billows from the barricaded structure, and the blast sends bodies flying. The explosive force throws Burnett and the mustached leader through a window. Surrounded by glass and debris, Burnett slowly gets to his feet. Now another tank barrels through a wall advertising U.S. Energy cigarettes. The cannon fires. The blast shockwave knocks Burnett back to the ground, where he lies face down in the rubble. Elsewhere in the ravaged city, Serb soldiers patrol. In one building, a young girl huddles near a fire. A Serb soldier turns over one bloody body, then kicks it back down. They continue on. Now, near the rebel headquarters building, the soldiers cross the debris-covered floor. Weapons at the ready, they climb over the tank and comb the area. One rebel runs away from them. The soldiers shoot him in the back. Spreading out, the soldiers make their way through the ruins. Three rebels slowly walk toward the group, holding their hands up in surrender. The soldiers open fire on them. In the advancing group, two soldiers turn, facing the radio noise. They step toward a body lying face up in a pile of smoky rubble. Burnett's yellow ID tag is visible on the body's vest. Their gazes shift to Burnett's hand radio on the ground nearby. Now the Serb commander rides through the area, surveying the scene from an open-air military vehicle. The car pulls to a stop, and the commander gets out. Approaching the car, Bazda accompanies the commander. Elsewhere, the tracker faces the mustached rebel leader, and soldiers round up more of the rebels at gunpoint. Now, as the commander walks toward a building, two soldiers drag out a body. Subtitles appear. We've got him! We've got him! They drop the body onto the dirt. The commander approaches. Sir, we found him in a shop. The tracker leans over the body. It's not him. Bazda smirks. What do you mean it's not him? The tracker holds up the man's hand, showing two tattooed dots. This tattoo is from the prison camp in Gorny Vukov. Bazda barks back. That's crazy. How do you know that? The tracker drops the man's hand, stands up, and shows two tattooed dots on his own hand. He switched uniforms. The commander pulls out his gun and shoots the body. Blood spatters an onlooking soldier. Glaring, the commander walks off, followed by Bazda. A few yards away, Bazda leans to the commander. If the pilot radioed in, the Americans will send a rescue team. We don't have much time. The commander stares pensively. Maybe we do. Now our view follows a tall soldier striding across the muddy ground. A dark-knitted ski mask covers his face. As he passes the commander and Bazda, the commander lifts his hand in greeting. The tall soldier returns the wave. Walking on, he passes a group of soldiers, then more Serbs manning a tank. Now in slow motion, he walks toward the deserted edge of the ravaged city. Thick black smoke billows from a structure's open side. The soldier pulls off the ski mask and glances back, revealing his face. It's Burnett! He breaks into a run. Now the rescue team helicopter hovers into view. Words appear. ETA, 5 minutes. In the flight control room, Riegert faces a computerized map with moving icons. A clock second hand ticks down. Back on the ground, Burnett passes the ponytailed teen in a wooded area. He recoils at the Serb uniform.
Hey, it's okay. It's me.
They set off together. Back in the flight control room, one of the icons inches forward on the map. In the woods, the ponytailed teen follows Burnett. They each carry an automatic weapon. In flight control, Riegert faces an aide with a stopwatch.
Time. 3 minutes, sir.
Riegert nods, biting his lip. Now in the air, the helicopter speeds toward the rendezvous point. On the ground, Burnett and the teen race through the woods.
Stop!
As our view circles him, Burnett listens, cocking his head.
Let's go.
They run off. Back in flight control, Riegert watches the screen. One boxed icon inches forward. In the helicopter, Marines with dark camouflage face paint stare ahead pensively as the chopper flies. Back on the ground, Burnett's boot splashes into a stream as he runs across, followed by the rebel team. In the flight control room, Riegert answers a phone mounted on the low ceiling.
Riegert.
Leslie, I'm afraid there's been news. Boston Serb 4th Army Patrol found Lieutenant Burnett near Hutch. I regret to inform you that Lieutenant Burnett is dead.
I'm sorry, Leslie.
Thank you.
His brow furrowed, Riegert hands off the receiver to his aide. Now the logo Sky News appears on a television screen. A caption reads, "Breaking news, pilot feared dead."
There's meant to be a peace deal. Hutch was meant to be a safe haven. Yet once again in Bosnia, that's proved an illusion. And in the midst of the fighting around the southern enclave, Bosnian Serb forces announced they'd found the body of the American navigator, Lieutenant Chris Burnett, whose plane was shot down 2 days ago.
Footage shows the body with Burnett's ID.
The Serb authorities are claiming he was shot by Muslim guerrillas, opposed to the recently signed Cincinnati Peace Accord.
The Serbs say the body was discovered by one of their teams that had been taking part in a combined search and rescue attempt since the F-18 was shot down 2 days ago.
Chris's parents watched the broadcast.
Hopes for a clean exit from the Balkans and frustrates U.S. military leaders who are only days away from a complete withdrawal from Bosnia.
On the ship.
For NATO's forces on the eve of their departure from this region, the news of Lieutenant Burnett's death comes as another dark blow at the end of a disturbing an ultimately unsuccessful chapter in the Alliance's history.
Now Burnett and the rebel team race to the pickup point. In the helicopter, the team listens to a radio.
Sager 6 from Gold Eagle Command. Be advised the package is not in position. Mission is scrubbed. Return to base immediately.
One Marine makes the cutoff sign, then a circular motion and points down with his hands. On the ground, Burnett runs across a flat plain, watching the chopper turn around. Shooting his rifle in the air, Burnett waves frantically, unseen by the departing chopper.
Come on!
The chopper disappears behind a hill. Now on the ship, Rodway punches a hole in a wall map.
Biff, they killed him and we did nothing! Yeah. We did nothing.
Admiral Riegert leaves the room. Taking a deep breath, he walks down a hallway and through several oval hatches. As O'Malley watches his superior leave, Riegert turns a corner and stops. The Admiral lowers his head, then keeps going. On the flat plain, Burnett kneels on the ground with his head hung low. He sorrowfully glances back at the teenager.
Right here. Right.
As he turns his head, the lieutenant spots something.
What's that?
Breathing heavily, the rebel looks to the side. On a distant cliff, the angel statue stands tall. As he stares, Burnett remembers the ejection seat crashing in the snow. Gaping, the lieutenant's eyes fix on the cliff. He blinks and grins slightly. Elsewhere, the commander gets out of his SUV and talks into a cell phone. Subtitles appear. Listen, Petrovic, you tell them 48 hours. We will have both bodies for them. Yes, I understand. Look, I don't care. Just tell them. As the commander ends the call, he nods the tracker over. The tracker hops down from erect statue and flicks a cigarette as he approaches the commander. Listen, Sasha, this is very important. You have to bring the body back. When you shoot him in the head. The tracker, Sasha, nods. Now on the plane, Burnett picks up his rifle.
not safe here. We'll keep going. Now, you go.
The lieutenant attaches a magazine to his weapon.
They killed my pilot because we took pictures of the graves. And I know where they are. And I'm gonna get them. So he didn't die for no reason.
With a deep breath, Burnett loads the chamber, then eyes his teenage ally. He approaches the young rebel and pats his arm.
Don't follow me. Safer here.
The American heads away, leaving the teenage rebel alone on the open plain. As his exhaled breaths cloud the air, the teenager looks in both directions. Swallowing, he turns around and walks away with his rifle in hand. Later, Basta follows Sasha across the open plain. Slowing his pace, Sasha looks down at the ground and picks up Burnett's spent magazine. The tracker examines the abandoned clip, then tosses it to Basta. The Serbian soldier glances at it briefly and throws it over his shoulder. Now on the cliff, the angel statue towers over the snow-covered plateau. Beyond the clearing, Burnett treks through a wooded area with his rifle raised. Kneeling, the lieutenant hides behind some branches and looks toward the plateau. As he scans the snowy terrain, Burnett squints and slightly rises. In the center of the clearing, a gust blows snow across the half-buried ejection seat. The lieutenant cautiously steps forward. Keeping low, he edges out of the woods. At the far end of the empty plateau, he sees the statue facing the edge of the cliff. With his shoulders hunched, Burnett crosses over the snow lightly and looks over his shoulder. Now his white dusted boots travel over slick ice. Heading toward the seat, the lieutenant treks through the open space with a watchful eye. Drawing closer, Burnett focuses on the half-buried chair. As he steps over melted ice, the lieutenant quickens his pace and runs to the seat. Burnett reaches the mound of snow surrounding the seat and slides behind it. He kneels, sets his gun down, and examines a box attached to the chair. Burnett looks on the ground and spots a part covered in snow. He wipes it clean, revealing the disengaged homing beacon. Burnett crawls closer.
Why is this off? Why is this off? Why is this...
He looks around, then drops his gaze. Now the lieutenant unscrews a cover on a small box exposing wires. He examines the device, then reaches for a red flashlight in the snow. Burnett opens the back and empties a battery into his gloved hand. He attempts to connect it to a wire, then removes one of his gloves. With his bare hand, Burnett pinches a thin wire. He looks over his shoulder, then joins the wires and battery. The homing beacon remains off.
Come on.
Burnett taps his finger against the wire.
Come on!
As the beacon flashes red, the lieutenant blinks hard. He squeezes the battery and the light blinks steadily. Now on the aircraft carrier, two fighter jets descend on a platform elevator.
For the information of all hands, the ship will be relieved on station. It will set course for home base, effective 2300 this evening.
As the massive ship rides its course, our view ascends from the hangar deck. Above, Admiral Riegert stands at the edge of the flight deck. With his hat in his hands, he gazes solemnly at the water. A female officer approaches him from behind.
Sir? Your presence is requested in this skiff.
All right, thank you.
Inside.
It's the homing beacon, sir, on the second ejection seat. The only way to reactivate that beacon is from the seat, manually.
How long has that been on?
7 minutes. Sir, you've got to be very familiar with our systems to reactivate that beacon.
That's Burnett. Sir, it could be a setup.
It's a radio transmission. They are hearing the same music.
Sir, I agree.
Riegert heads out.
Sir, we really should notify NATO command, or at least contact Donnelly for clearance prior to launch. Of course, that will take a lot of time.
Tom,
I get it. We wait, Burnett dies.
McKay was very clear with his objections, sir. You will lose your command for this.
So be it. I'm not gonna let that kid die out there while we sit around on this ship.
In the woods, red triangles painted on trees show skulls and crossbones. Bazda blows on his fist as he follows Sasha. Our view zooms over the ground. Pronged landmine triggers stick up from patches of dead leaves. Sasha's boot pauses over one, then carefully sets down beyond it. Bazda's boot tilts back a trigger. As he looks down at the leaf-covered ground, the forest behind him blurs. Standing still, he lifts his nervous gaze to the tracker.
Especially.
Help me. Sasha glances coldly from Bazda's boot to his face. The tracker draws a gun. Don't move. Be very still. He glances back down, shakes his head, then starts off. Help me. Poised to step, the grooved sole of Bazda's boot rests firmly on the trigger pin. Help me. Sasha walks off. Glancing back over his shoulder, the tracker shrugs and continues on. Bazda looks down at his precariously arched foot. Back on the plateau, Burnett sweeps snow off the photo storage compartment.
Okay.
He takes out a pocket knife and extends a screwdriver blade, then wipes away more snow. He looks around, then loosens a screw. He tries another screw, then pounds on the compartment. Back in the woods, Bazda stands frozen among the leafless trees. Elsewhere, Sasha heads down a hill with Burnett. Our view glides over the snowy clearing. Back on the hill, Sasha halts, then pushes onward. Meanwhile, Burnett picks up his rifle and stares off cautiously. Now the USS Carl Vinson cuts through the Adriatic Sea. In the hangar deck, O'Malley and Captain Rodway stand behind Riegert.
Gentlemen.
Rodway wears camouflage makeup.
I want to make one thing clear before we leave.
Admiral Riegert wears a flight suit.
I intend to put you in harm's way.
He grips a helmet under his arm.
Any man who doesn't wish to join this mission, step away right now.
On either side of him, 2 5-man rows of camouflaged soldiers face each other. They stand firm.
All right, then. Let's go get our boy back.
In Hotch, the Serb commander uses a cell phone. Subtitles. I'm not hiding. I did what I had to do. Don't push me, Petrovic. I warn you, you still need me. A soldier runs up. Sir, we've intercepted a signal, a beacon from the ejection seat. Our problem's been solved. I'll speak with you later. We have a location? Let's get moving. Back on the USS Carl Vinson, exhaust haze obscures Admiral Riegert and the extraction team as a lift elevates them to the flight deck. They march ahead in slow motion. Rotor blades languidly swoop by overhead as the soldiers split off toward helicopters. Later, 3 Seahawks take off. In one, Riegert sits behind the windshield, wearing a radio headset attached to his helmet. Leaving the aircraft carrier behind, the helicopters set out across the foggy sea. In one, Rodway sits in the open cabin, his arm draped around a pole. The Seahawks soar over a misty mountain valley. Back on the plateau, our view zigzags down a thicket along the edge of the clearing. Sasha sneaks, crouched over, to a fallen tree. Aiming his rifle, he pops a cap off the scope. He scans the clearing from the angel statue to the glinting ejection seat. Pulling back his rifle's bolt handle, he ejects a spent shell, then locks in a new one. The crosshairs of his scope show a gloved hand moving on top of the ejection seat. Burnett's rifle sits propped up nearby. The crosshairs tilt down along the unmanned weapon. Sasha lifts his head from his scope and cricks his neck.
Hey, Mom. launched at this.
I have 48 hours, my friend. Let's see who can wait longer. Changing his grip on his rifle, he lowers his eye back down to the scope. Now the three Seahawks soar over a forest-covered canyon.
Our two tricks up this valley. We're going to make a hard right.
Back on the plateau, the back end of Sasha's scope shows his eye magnified. He lifts his gaze. Meanwhile, the Seahawks glide low through the canyon, back with Sasha. He runs off. Now the three Seahawks climb over the tops of pine trees, then glide down along a mountain slope. On one, a machine gun points out from the open cabin. On the plateau, Sasha emerges from the trees and gets down on one knee. His scope's crosshairs tilt up and down along Burnett's unmanned rifle. As Sasha sidles closer, snow flurries cascade around him. He holds his rifle steady as he moves. He closes in on the gloved hand atop the frosty ejection seat. The glove is empty. As Sasha spots the blinking red light on the locator beacon, the picture freezes. Nearby, Burnett pops up from the snow and shoots Sasha with his pistol. The tracker fires his rifle, clipping the lieutenant's shoulder. Sasha draws his own pistol. Burnett ducks his shots, disarms him, and knocks him to the snow. Sasha punches back. Burnett activates a flare, then stabs it into his adversary's chest. A shrub's thin branches tremble. Burnett looks over his shoulder. Tanks plow over the shrubs and trees along the perimeter of the clearing. Burnett springs to his feet and takes off in slow motion. As a Serb soldier fires a machine gun mounted on a jeep, the Serb commander waves his men onward. As Burnett races for the statue, a Seahawk rises into view behind the cliff. As a second helicopter joins it, snowy explosions burst around the lieutenant. The Seahawks launch missiles at the Serb forces. Enemy soldiers collapse in clouds of debris. Riegert motions to Burnett.
Come on, come on! Damn it, what the hell's he waiting?
The lieutenant looks back at the ejection seat as it gets riddled with bullets. In a flashback, Burnett crawls over the bodies in the mass grave. Now he grits his teeth. Riegert shouts to him. Burnett shakes his head, then takes off the other way.
Come on, come on!
The Seahawks offer cover fire as he races toward the ejection seat. Serb soldiers shoot at him.
It's too hot to set down. We'll have to cover him off.
He is going around.
Roger.
The enemy advances. A Seahawk's machine gun picks them off. Burnett skids onto his thigh and fires his pistol. The Serb commander throws his arm forward. Reaching the ejection seat, Burnett drops his gun and opens the photo storage compartment. As he struggles to remove a disk drive, the Seahawks trade fire with the Serb forces. A missile blows up one of the tanks. As he slides out the drive, the Serb commander shoots at him with a submachine gun. The Seahawks mow down tanks and foot soldiers as Burnett makes a run for it. Smoke and debris obscure the firing weapons and falling bodies. An American gets hit.
Go!
Captain, fast rope, go get it!
Rodway lowers on a cable.
He's on the rope.
As Burnett runs across the clearing, a Serb soldier camouflaged with tufts of grass aims a rifle at him.
Sniper in the open. Choose Cali, we'll take him.
From the chopper, Marines shoot him.
Come on.
As Rodway hovers beyond the cliff with the rope hooked to his waist, Burnett dodges artillery fire.
Go!
As Burnett nears the ledge, the Serb commander raises a machine gun. As his shots narrowly miss Burnett, the American leaps from the cliff toward Rodway. Rounds from tank cannons hit the Angel statue. Rodway catches the lieutenant. As the Seahawk carries them away, Burnett clings to Rodway's arm.
I got it! Pull up! Pull up!
The two men dangle above the plateau where dozens of soldiers lie motionless in the white snow. The commander angrily slams his hand against a tank. The Seahawks fly over the hills toward a setting sun. As the rope retracts into the chopper, members of the rescue team help pull Rodway and Burnett inside. Beside them, a machine gunner continues cover fire. Safely inside the craft, Rodway and Burnett catch their breath.
Hey, Chris!
Hey, Glenn!
Admiral!
As Riegert peers from the pilot's seat, Burnett takes the disc from his flight suit pocket.
This is why they killed Stackel!
He hands the disc to the Admiral, who eyes it thoughtfully. Rodway grimaces. Riegert gives Burnett a proud nod.
Admiral! You're holding a letter for me! I'd like to get it back!
I think I can find it.
Riegert reaches into his pocket, takes out a folded sheet of paper, and hands it to Burnett. The lieutenant opens the letter, glances at it, then wads it into a ball. In the Seahawk, Riegert glances back and grins at the rescued navigator. Rodway puts his arm around Burnett and pulls him into a hug. Burnett looks off wearily and rubs his nose with his gloved hand. The three Seahawks soar over a mountain range, then bank over a blanket of clouds.
And everybody wants to see you suffer. They know that you need the pain so much.
Now on the flight deck, Riegert and Rodway help Burnett out of the Seahawk.
They throw you up a rope when you're too hot to cruise, baby. Don't cruise, baby. Then they charge you with the rescue blues.
Burnett grins at the cheering crewmen around him. Words appear. Chris Burnett stayed in the Navy. The photographic evidence he recovered led to the arrest and conviction of Miroslav Lokar for numerous war crimes, including genocide. Now Admiral Riegert crosses the flight deck wearing a coat over his Navy dress uniform. Words appear. Admiral Leslie Riegert lost command of his battle group. As Riegert walks, his crew watches from three decks above him. He lifts his hand to them in a little wave. More words appear. He was reassigned to an administrative job in Washington. He chose instead to retire with the respect and gratitude of the men and women under his command. Fade to black.